We're going to drop it down real low tonight with some DC Talk episode number 155. This is June 19, 2021, and I am DJ Mike, and this is Carrie. How are you? Smooth Carrie, how are you?
I am very confused right now.
I was trying a new approach. Did it not work?
No, it really didn't work, Mike.
Dang it! I tried.
I thought you were kind of jumping the gun on one of our news items.
Oh,
maybe
somebody else might be going down, or maybe not going down,
or maybe not. But we'll get to that.
We will. How are you, Carrie?
I'm good. Yeah, just
thank you for covering
around.
Last week.
Of course. You know, it's my GM.
It's your job. I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to add an extra zero to the end of your amount. You get paid now.
Oh, good. Good. That's very helpful. Thank you.
There you go. All right. Hey,
you cleared that with Eric Liu and Tim, right?
No, I just make the executive call on that.
Right.
But hey, we are DC Talk. We are going to talk all things DC, and we are a member of the Random Chatter Network, so make sure you go to randomchatter.com for everything that you may need to know about Random Chatter and all of our other shows we have. We have lots of other shows. I encourage you to check them out. Don't really have any show announcements, but what I do have is some flash news.
Okay.
First up, one that Carrie said she's going to bring into this episode because she wanted to hear my thoughts on it is League of Super Pets has revealed their star-studded cast.
Uh-huh.
And I have thoughts. So, as you know, I have been against this movie because I think it is absolutely the stupidest thing in the world to have Super Pets movie. However,
you're on board now.
Dwayne The Rock freaking Johnson is on.
Well, we do about that one, but the rest of the cast.
But the rest of the cast, you know, I mean, I'm on. I mean, this intrigues me greatly. They just had to get the right cast.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really, of course, you know, Kevin Hart's going to be on it, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I love that. Let's see.
Kate McKinnon, Natasha Lyonne, Diego Luna, Keanu Reeves.
Right. So I mean, I'm down. Bear. I mean, as can we have one of the dogs go like all straight John Wick on people? That would be great.
I guess that's going to depend on who Keanu Reeves is voicing,
and if this movie's going to be rated R.
I don't think it's going to be rated R. Maybe a hard PG.
I can see that.
These are the pets. This is probably more of a kid-friendly movie than
we would normally think. I get it. So not Suicide Squad-like.
No.
Okay.
Killing Joke-like. It'll be, you know.
Oh. Okay, you know what a movie I'm excited about going to the theater and seeing?
What?
F9 comes out this week. I just got done with my fast rewatch. I watched all the movies one a week. And I'm so excited about F9.
Okay.
Hopefully, I'll find time to go out and see it this week.
Uh-huh.
So,
good luck with that.
Your first is going to be Suicide Squad, isn't it?
Maybe.
Or Black Widow. Well, Black Widow's in.
Possibly Black Widow. Black Widow comes out next month.
Nice. I'm pretty excited about that one now, too.
Me too.
So, our next bit news is kind of sad, but it hadn't happened earlier this week. But Ned Beatty, who played Otis on the original Superman movie and Superman 2 back in the 70s and 80s, he passed away at 83 this week. So it's kind of sad. We miss Ned Beatty. We will miss Ned Beatty. He did a great job. For those Superman movies. So good job, Otis.
Yeah.
These next
couple are kind of fast because.
Right. I mean, Annie Muschietti, who is the director for the Flash movie, showed a new Flash logo. Looks like Flash got an upgrade.
He also showed the Supergirl logo, which has some very Man of Steel vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of it.
So, and I think it's, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I think to me, okay, I can't say anything about the 83 Supergirl movie or 85 Supergirl movie. This one is really good. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Next one is kind of interesting. I kind of saw coming, though, I just wondered what was going to happen, but we have another Flash King movie cameo. It's going to be Grant Gustin's Barry Allen is going to make a cameo in the Flash movie.
I don't know. I'm still getting some rumor vibes on this one, so I'm not entirely sure this one is completely legit yet.
It would make sense, kind of repaying.
It would make sense. It's a good symmetry with what happened in Crisis, but I'm still not completely holding my breath on it.
Okay.
So, like I say, it still feels like it's in the rumor mill phase.
Okay.
And something where I'll be pleasantly surprised if it does happen in the Flash movie, but if it doesn't, it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't make the cut. Who knows?
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. I think it'd be really cool to see Grant Gustin in the Flash movie. I know people have been clamoring to see Grant in an actual Flash movie for a while.
Uh-huh.
So this would be nice to see him there, at least as a cameo role.
Yeah.
In this next bit of news, we got some dates of release for our DC shows in the fall.
Yeah.
Legends of Tomorrow is moving to Wednesdays for its seventh season on October 13th. So they'll be moving to Wednesdays at 8. And then Batwoman will also be premiering on Wednesdays at 9. And both shows right now currently air on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a push to try to get more viewers, but I also know that the reason why they're doing it is because you have football starting up again in the fall, and they know a lot of Sunday nights viewerships may be going during that timeline, going toward football, so they want to try to get a chance to get away where there's no football, because right now there's football. There'll be football Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays because of college. So the only days of the week are Tuesdays and Wednesday that don't have football.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For all the sports ball fans out there, you're welcome, I guess. they've also said that Flash will premiere in November, on November 16th.
Yes.
And that Barry's kind of going to be doing, like, they're kind of going to be doing a crossover type thing where Barry's just going to be interacting with people from the Arrowverse in lieu of, having the ginormous crossover, which, I think this is something I've been talking about. Like, yeah, let's do this. Let's mingle a bit. And I think I posted on Twitter, after this week's Superman Lois, like, Clark, you got a cousin on the planet. You could call her and, consult on what she knows about all of this Kryptonian stuff, because she was a teenager when she left the planet, but I mean,
she knows what she's talking about.
She might know some stuff.
Right.
But I also get the feeling that, like, they're really not giving us much of a break this year because they kind of can't.
Right.
Like they're getting us back on track for what the normal scheduling is, but we're pretty much going to be finishing up this last season in August, so we don't really have a whole lot of.
And then have like a month and a half or so break before.
Yeah.
Which will be nice to catch a breath for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can watch Smallville during that month and a half. Hey, I finished Friends, so now I can watch Smallville.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All 10 seasons. But I have a hot take. I can see the Flash 8th season being its final season. I can see it possibly happening.
You've been saying that.
I really can see it, even when you lose Cisco and you lose Wells, even though I know they weren't very integral toward the later part of the show. I think you lost some steam-ish. But I think they're going to wait to see what the numbers are going to be like without Cisco and Wells right now before they make the call. But I can see I would rather them end on season 8 than drag it out to a longer season, kind of like we know Smallville did. Smallville drug it out way too long.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably could have ended a season or two shorter, and it would have been nice.
Probably could have. My only other thought has been, and they probably could have done this with Arrow as well, is that because the Flash is kind of, you know, that code name is shifts around, they could, you know, Barry could leave for a while and they could bring back Wally or bring in Bart for a while and let one of them be the Flash.
Right, and still carry the show.
Still keep the show going. I mean, they technically could have done that with, you know, Green Arrow and the Canaries would have been the logical show for that. But that is kind of the genius of the Flash, Green Arrow, and Green Lantern heroes, really, is that there are people, they're not always the same person.
And they could even keep him in a role kind of like they do, like they're doing with Diggle this season, and giving him a shot of just showing up on random ones and periodically. So I think that's good. You know, the last couple shows we have Superman and Lois. They're going to kind of do mid-season. And then the DC new series, Naomi, as well, be kind of mid-season show for it. We had a couple trailers. The first trailer we had this past week was we had a Stargirl Season 2 trailer.
Yes.
And I'm still in love with the show. I mean, I think this is going to be a great – I think this season is going to ask the question. So if you haven't seen the trailer, you may have to go see it before you listen. It has the idea of what do superheroes have – and I've always wanted to see this. What do superheroes do when there's no bad guys to go after? And I think that's what we're going to see is what is she going to do now that there's no bad guys to chase that we know of? She's going to have to struggle in that season. So I'm looking forward to this. What did you think about this trailer?
Well, I was very excited about the trailer, and then we got confirmation that Issa Panaharo's new character for the show is going to be Alan Scott's daughter, Jade. And ooh, Jade is awesome. I love it. I cannot wait.
I'm so glad you're gonna get to see Jade on screen. Yeah. I'm just glad we're getting a Green Lantern on a confirmed Green Lantern on a CW show.
Well, okay.
Because Diggle's
not confirmed yet, but I have a theory about that though, because she may not be Green Lantern.
Ooh, so you think that she may just want the ring?
We'll be talking about that sometime later. You'll understand why I've been saying this. I'm taking over the next one, guys, just to save Mike some embarrassment here. So,
why would it be embarrassment? I'm trying to figure out why this one is an embarrassment. Oh,
well, okay. So if you've been tooling around the Twitterverse or the Facebook or whatever, you might have seen the interwebs go a bit nuts over this one. So apparently there was a scene cut by DC out of Harley Quinn Season 3 that would have involved Batman and Catwoman and oral sex.
Yep.
And the higher-ups' reasoning for censoring it and the reason why the internet kind of exploded is their reasoning was heroes don't do that.
Well, that's not all the reasoning, though.
It wasn't all the reason, but that was the one. That was the part that got everyone going. Wait, what?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that at least one fanfiction writer has written a scene right. similar to that at some point. So the idea that the heroes don't engage in oral sex is just like what? Why do we care?
We're gonna talk about one of the movies tonight.
But
okay, so here's my thoughts on it. I don't know 100% if I agree with the thought of, well, heroes don't do that. I understand that, but their secondary reasoning I can understand, and I have more of a pull toward their secondary reasoning is that. Okay, well, first of all, if your child is under a certain age, he should be watching Harley Quinn anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, the reasoning is that Batman has always been, and I know Eric kind of talked about this too in a little chat we were having with Eric about it. Mm-hmm. But it was Batman has always been more geared toward kids, and the toys are geared toward them. So the correlation between the sex with Harley and the toy, they don't want to.
I can pretty much guarantee you that someone somewhere has gotten at least a couple of Batman figures into that position.
I understand.
You know what?
But I also understand their reasoning of okay. Well. First of all, I understand their reasoning because they don't want a kid to directly correlate that, even though kids have probably heard 30 times worse anyways at school anyways. But the main point is, okay, this is a hard R kind of a show. They shouldn't be watching it to begin with. If they wanted to do a hard R show, cool. Even if it's like a tag at the beginning, say, hey, this episode will contain this kind of a thing. So,
I mean, there's already a parental advisor at the beginning of the show. It's TVM. Come on. It's mature for a reason.
Right. So, I understand both sides. I understand one side getting an uproar about it. I understand why Warner Brothers says, no, we don't want that. Batman's like their golden goose. Okay? Him and Supes, I get that. But they don't want, like, if this had come up with Superman, there would have been no debate. It would not have happened. Because it's Superman.
I can pretty much guarantee you someone has written it somewhere.
Right. I'm talking about through DC doing it. Unless you're Zack Snyder, then you can pretty much get away with whatever you want.
Well, Zack Snyder's all fully on board with yes, Batman does do that.
Oh,
and he did post something to Twitter.
Hey, all I'm saying is it's not my position. So if they don't want it, they don't want it. If they want it, they want it. Cool, whatever. So
I just find the whole thing hilarious, a bit, you know, prudish. Like, okay, so the execs at DC are way more, you know, okay, they just don't go there.
Right.
That's fine. My brain goes all kinds of places. We won't discuss on a family friendly show.
It is what it is. I mean, I saw that news come across and I said, okay, you know, I don't know. I can see both ends. So I'm kind of neutral in the debate of it. I'm not going to choose yes or no. I'm just kind of neutral. Like, eh.
Okay. To be honest, I'm mostly neutral too. I just find the reasoning a bit hilarious. And like I said, I know people who have probably written a scenario or 50. Involving Batman and one or more people.
So
we will just leave it at that.
I'm more apropos when these things happen if it's necessary to the plot.
Mm.
But if it's not, I don't understand it.
I mean, okay, this is we're talking.
And
about,
we'll talk about that when we talk about Batman.
Yeah, we're also talking about a show that already has, you know, had them go with the Batman does bats.
That is
theory. So implied bestiality is okay, but not that. Okay. I don't get it, but okay.
I mean, yeah. All right. Anyway, I knew you wanted to take that one.
Yeah.
So I'll let you have.
Oh, I volunteered to take that one.
She did, everybody. She did.
We got a couple here for Mike.
Yeah, we got some Titans.
Yay.
We got some Titans. So they ended season 3, has finished filming. And some of the cast members sent out some pictures of that one that they're finished filming. There was also some behind-the-scenes photos that were released that were really cool to see. And then finally, we had a trailer. It was about a minute long. It was released by HBO Max. And I am so digging this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot. Titans is one of those shows that I'm sorry, Arrowverse, but when Titans comes back on, it kind of takes over. I love this take on Titans.
Yeah, I'm getting a serious, you know, under the Red Hood vibe off of parts of this trailer, because we know we're going back to Gotham. We know that Jason's going to become Red Hood at some point. But yeah, I'm getting some serious, like, you know, under the Red Hood vibes off of this.
I agree. I think that scene, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about the trailer here for a second. I think what we saw in the trailer, where we saw the guy that was hanging up with the smile on his face, and Jason was in the, I guess, in the carnival area, the amusement park. I think Jason is going to be hallucinating there, or he's going to be dreaming. I don't think none of that's real. I think that's he's going to be hallucinating, and that's what's going to drive him toward the Red Hood persona.
Well, we know Scarecrow's. I think Scarecrow's going to be in this season of Titans.
So,
it may not involve Joker at all this time around. It may be Scarecrow
But maybe something in Jason's past dealing with the Joker is going to kind of set
maybe.
Him off.
Maybe.
And that's why I said I think it could be in his mind. He's fighting some stuff.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm excited about Titans season 3. Hallelujah.
Yay.
Speaking of not Titans, but some Suicide Squad here. Suicide Squad's exact runtime is been released. It's going to be 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad. Comes out here soon. So be on the lookout for that, everybody. Kind of our last bit of news to kind of round everything out.
This is what I posted for you, Mike, because I knew you, yes. it would just fuel the hashtag war.
Hey, I always put that at the end of every one of our posts. It's great.
I do. I know you do. Anyway, continue.
Zack Snyder's The Justice League has been in its fifth week on the top of the UK home entertainment chart.
Yep.
So I am pretty excited about that. Let's see. It's on 5. Number 2 is Godzilla vs. Kong. If that kind of puts it there. A Quiet Place is number 3. Tom and Jerry the Movie is number 4. And Raya the Last Dragon was number 5. And Wonder Woman is at number 6.
Wow.
So, by the way, I've seen A Quiet Place, good movie. Godzilla vs. Kong, great movie. Tom and Jerry, bleh. Raya and the Last Raya's Dragon.
Amazing.
Great movie. I loved it. And Wonder Woman 84, an enchanting movie. So, anyways, congratulations, Zack Snyder. Here's to hoping that you get what you want and they let you make Justice League 2 and 3. So, hey, it's been a couple weeks, Carrie. And,
yeah, it has.
We have missed our Gideon's character archive. So who is our Gideon's character archive person tonight?
Well, I was inspired by the Stargirl trailer. to do a write-up on one of my favorite Green Lantern characters of all time, which is Jennifer Lynn Hayden, a.k.a. Jade. She made her first appearance in All-Star Squadron number 25 in September 1983. She's created by Roy Thomas and Jerry Ordway. Jenny Lynn, or Jen, as she's known in the DCU, is the daughter of Alan Scott, Earth's first Green Lantern, and Rose Canton, a.k.a. Thorn. She also has a twin brother named Todd James Rice, who is also known as Obsidian. See season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow, played by Lance Hendrickson. They will probably need to recast if they decide to bring Todd back.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and Todd were the result of a brief marriage between Alan Scott and Rose Canton. Rose, a.k.a. Rose and Thorn, had a bit of a split personality. Her villainous side is kind of like Poison Ivy. She can control plants. And make them do various bad things. She was apparently cured of this for a while before she married Alan and had the twins. Okay. However, her madness resurfaced, and that resulted in her leaving Alan and giving the kids up for adoption for their own protection, of course.
Hmm. Obviously.
As was actually kind of common up until a few decades ago, I think, the twins were separated.
Wow.
When they were put up for adoption. Jen was adopted by a couple in Milwaukee. She didn't learn about her twin until she was a teenager. They eventually found each other and tried to join the JSA, but they were rejected. Instead, they formed Infinity Inc., which comprised of the children and proteges of the JSA.
So, kind of like what we're seeing on Stargirl.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kind of what Stripey would have been.
No.
Yeah. Before Starman got himself killed.
Okay.
We're talking about when he was still a sidekick. I mean, he still is a sidekick, but now he's a grown up sidekick. Okay. Anyway, continuing on. Jen lived in California and worked as a model. She later moved to New York and became a photographer. She moved in with Kyle Rayner. It started out as platonic, and then that didn't last. They've been a pretty solid thing for most of the time that I've known about them. So, Jen and Kyle did leave Earth. I skipped a couple things. Sorry, where am I? At one point, she lost her powers during a battle with Starheart. Kyle gave her a spare ring, which made her a Green Lantern for a time. Also made her the Earth's first female Green Lantern.
We'll talk about another one here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we will. When Kyle became Ion, he later restored her powers, and Jen's ring was given to Jon Stewart, who had given up his ring, I think. So, there was a big backstory about why John gave up being Green Lantern for a while.
I was just trying to figure out how Kyle had two rings.
Okay, that is probably something for another character profile. But long story short, this was after Hal Jordan kind of went insane and blew up Oa. Kyle's ring is a bit of one of a kind. It can make rings.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's cool.
It can make rings. It also has the ability to split the atom. Whether that's the ring's power or his powers as Ion, I never really found out, but that's, again, that's a profile for another time. Kyle had a spare ring lying around, and when Jen lost her powers, he made her a Green Lantern.
Okay.
Well, when Jen lost her Green Lantern-esque powers, we'll get into what her powers are in a bit. Jen and Kyle left Earth for a while. They had all kinds of adventures. Eventually, Jen broke up with Kyle and then came back to Earth. They didn't stay broken up, but that's a different thing. Jen died while trying to prevent Alexander Luther from tearing the universe into a multiverse during the Rand-Thanagar War in Infinite Crisis Special. However, her consciousness and powers lingered until her Starheart, presumably, I'm guessing, the powers Starheart stole from her, again, that's just my guess, merged with Kyle, reawakened the Ion entity within him, and he brought her back.
Okay, well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, it was nice, nice of him. At one point, she's taken over by Eclipso in an effort to destroy God. Eclipso is eventually stopped by the Spectre, Saint Walker, the Atom, and Starman. And
okay, by the way, if any indication of the Stargirl Season 2 trailer has anything to do with it, I see them following this storyline.
That's why I brought that up.
Thank you, because we know Eclipso is going to be in Season 2, so I can see him being taken over by Eclipso.
Yeah.
Change some people around. You know, we don't know who Saint Walker is and all them, but
Saint Walker is the first Blue Lantern.
Right. I mean, obviously he's probably not going to be in Season 2, but we have other characters who could fill that void if need be. So. Okay.
Yeah. So Jen was removed from the continuity during the New 52 and Rebirth, along with the JSA and the Legion of Superheroes. This was apparently the fault of Dr. Manhattan. And his experiment was later reversed in the Doomsday Clock storyline.
Okay.
Which brought all of those characters back.
Okay.
Jade's powers and abilities. Jade has... Okay, this requires a bit of an explanation. Jade has what's called Starheart Energy Manipulation Powers, which is channeled through a star-shaped birthmark on her palm. This is kind of based on the original explanation for Alan Scott's powers. Originally, the Green Lantern powers came from a green flame, and it was contained within an orb that fell from space. This was later revised as a fragment of the Starheart, which was the result of the Guardians of the Universe collecting and isolating most of the magic forces in the universe and stuff. The concept of magic powering the Green Lantern's rings was further revised to be more scientific after Hal Jordan was introduced.
So, in essence, the original Green Lantern powers were from a green flame, but once Hal Jordan was introduced, they kind of retconned everything and made it a more scientific answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, as a result of her father's exposure to magical energies and her mother being a metahuman, Jen and Todd were both born with their powers. Jen's powers first manifested when she was a child, trying to defend herself against sexual harassment.
Okay.
Jen's powers resemble those of a Green Lantern in that she can generate green energy and create constructs, but she don't need no stinking ring to do it unless she loses her powers. She also inherited her mother's ability to manipulate plants. She is also green. She has green skin, green hair, green eyes. Her skin contains chlorophyll. She can photosynthesize sunlight like a plant does. And also due to their shared connection with the Starheart, Jen can sense where her brother and father are at all times. She's also occasionally telepathically linked to Todd.
Okay, so I do have a question, though, about this. Now, we kind of skipped over it. Well, we didn't skip it. We kind of went through it quick. So that she has her skin contains chlorophyll, and she can photosynthesize sunlight like plants do. Can she manipulate plants like her mother?
Yes, she can.
So she can. Okay.
Yeah.
So girls like the whole package is what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. She got all the powers. None of the mental problems her mom did. I think Todd got some mental problems, but I'd have to go back and read up on Obsidian.
So as the once great Hannah Montana used to say, she got the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Okay.
Notable groups, as I said, she was a founding member of Infinity Inc. She's also worked with the JLA, the JSA. She was a member and leader of the Outsiders, and was also in the Green Lantern Corps for a while. Sweet. And as I said, she was Earth's first female Green Lantern.
Sweet.
Notable DC storylines. She in Green Lantern Rebirth, she assisted in defeating and imprisoning Parallax. In Blackest Night, Jade's remains were reanimated as a member of the Black Lantern Corps. She's eventually resurrected for real and gets back together with Kyle.
Okay.
And so like I said, as far as I know, she and Kyle have been pretty much a thing for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
And then appearances in media. Jade will be making her first ever on-screen appearance this summer in Stargirl Season 2, played by Issa Pinheiro. I hope I pronounced that right.
I think you did a much better job than I probably could.
Oh, just thank
saying.
You.
Thank you. All right. I played Libby
in Los Angeles.
Well, I do not, as far as for next week goes, unfortunately, you guys won't hear me next week again either. I have some business I'll be attending, and I won't be able to do it. So you're going to have to wait 2 more weeks to hear my character profile, and I don't know who it's going to be yet. So that gives me 2 weeks to think of a character profile. More than likely, I'll see somebody on one of these episodes coming up of DC Universe, and I'll be able to find somebody. So thank you for that. I had no idea about Jade. I may, since we're going to be doing Justice League versus the Fatal Five next time we get together again, I may just do my bombshell of a girl, Jessica Cruz, just because.
Okay.
Just throw some female Green Lanterns down there with. I'm down with that. Well, now let's go ahead then, if that's it, and head into the Watchtower. In the Watchtower this week, we watched one of my favorite movies, Batman and Harley Quinn.
This is not his favorite movie. He is lying through his teeth.
Batman and Nightwing are forced to team with Joker's sometimes girlfriend Harley Quinn. By the way, can I just appreciate that summary of Joker's sometimes girlfriend Harley Quinn? That's that come. Oh, they're there to stop a global threat brought about by Poison Ivy and Jason Woodrow, the Floronic Man. By the way, if you wanted to see Jason Woodrow, you need to go watch the live action Swamp Thing. You'll get him like, yeah.
We almost we kind of got Floronic Man towards the end, but
right,
not quite.
So, Carrie, what'd you think of this movie overall?
I think I like this movie much better than you do. This movie I feel is for people who grew up watching Batman the Animated Series and are now old enough to understand the innuendos.
Okay.
It's like the creators of this movie understood that their audiences were adults now.
I will agree with that. All right. So watching it a second time, I didn't have as bad of an issue with it. I know it's kind of shocking. There are a couple things I still did have an issue with.
Okay. Right?
One of the biggest issues I have is still the sex scene. Well, we don't really have a sex scene. We know something happens between Nightwing and Harley.
To go back to our news section.
That's why I knew this was going to come back.
So heroes don't do what the people on Harley Quinn wanted Batman to do, but bondage is okay.
Okay, but
I don't get it.
Let me explain what's going on. I don't have an issue with that. Again, if it was necessary to the plot, the only reason it was necessary to the plot was Harley said, "You give me some booty, I'll tell you where Ivy's at." I mean, that's pretty much where we're at in this.
Well, we do. He Nightwing clearly wanted to.
Oh, obviously. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, 20s, 30s, whatever, however old he is at this time. Obviously,
he's apparently single at the moment.
I mean, his mindset was, oh, heck, whatever. I mean, But I think what ruins it for me, and mm-hmm. I'm okay, and I'll tell you what I did like about the movie in a second, but I think what ruins it for me is the fact that Batman walks on in on them, tickling each other. And that's just such an awkward moment.
He knew exactly what was going on.
I mean, if I was Batman, my mindset would be the same exact thing was, huh? I mean, just, what do you, so,
well,
again.
Batman is not going to react.
No.
At least not where Harley sees him.
There may be
conversation with Dick Grayson when they get back to K.
Yes. So, again, it wasn't as bad. I enjoyed the comedy in this one. I enjoyed the levity in and some of the things that took place in there. It was a lot better to swallow the levity in this time. But I again, it's just that one scene. I just didn't see the need of it. Except for
I had a bit of a Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yes,
I thought too. Is like it was more along the lines of Indy finding out his father slept with Elsa as well. He's like,
yes,
well, I didn't trust her. Why did you?
Yeah,
type thing. So. That was kind of where my brain went. Again, my brain is strange. I love that they brought Swamp Thing into this without actually involving him. And
I love that.
And the bit at the end where he shows up and then goes away without actually doing anything is just like, yeah, they didn't actually like thank you.
Swamp Thing could have ended this whole thing down.
But you didn't want to.
Right. I thought that was a really good scene. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Super Babes is DC's version of Hooters.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Harley made fun of Nightwing's mullet. That was awesome.
Yeah, I think you missed one of your notes though. Harley pretended to be Harley. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Harley pretending to be Harley in order to pay rent is ironic and sad.
I loved that idea. It's like hiding in plain sight.
Sight because she has to because they won't let her, practice in her field because she's a psychotic.